Fate took the form of a silver scallop shell in the window of an antique store in the medieval French town of Cluny. It was laying on its back as if waiting for Botticelli's Venus, luring her with a cluster of coloured stones at one end of a white enamel edge. For some reason, I was drawn to it. Maybe the universe was sending me a message. More likely it was my head being in another time zone. I'd been travelling for 24 hours since I walked out of my home in Los Angeles for the last time. LAX. Just the one bag? Yes, and nothing left behind except three boxes of papers and mementos for my daughters. Charles de Gaulle Airport. Obnoxious male official trying to give me priority over a woman in a burqa. He didn't understand my protests, which was lucky, because he was directing her to the European Union passport line. It moved faster than the foreigner's line he'd sent me to. Immigration officer, young man, perfect English, holiday. Then, when I gave him my passport, vacation? Oui, as good an answer as any. Where are you staying? Avec un ami à Cluny. Camille, who I hadn't seen for a quarter of a century. He half smiled at my schoolgirl French. Your visa is good for 90 days in continental Europe. It expires May 13. It is an offence to remain after that. I wasn't planning to. My return flight was a month away, and I'd be lucky if my money held out that long. Then Paris. The Paris of museums and galleries and cafes. The vacation that Camille had been pushing me to take since we were at college at St. Louis, and that Keith had cancelled three times. Cluny-la-Sorbonne subway station. This is not the Cluny you are looking for. The address is in Burgundy. Not far. Less than 2 hours on the TGV. The fast train to Macon. Gare de Lyon. 147 euros. You're kidding me. It is more cheap on the slow train, but not from this station. Paris-Bercy station. 4 hours and 19 minutes. Then you will take the autobus. 135 euros. For the train only. By the time I reached Cluny, the one southeast of Paris, halfway to Italy, the winter sun was setting and the streetlights were creating halos in the light drizzle. I had only made it thanks to the strangers who passed me from railroad platforms to ticket counters to bus stops, like a baton in a relay race. They'd earned some good karma. I followed the signs to Centreville, dragging my suitcase. One of the wheels had developed a death rattle and I hoped that Camille's complicated instructions would translate into a short journey. I had cancelled my cell phone at the same time as electricity and water. I found myself in the central square, bounded on two sides by a majestic abbey and its ruined ramparts. A group of young men burst out of a bar. They were wearing long grey coats decorated with hand-painted designs. One got my attention. The artist had done a fine job of rendering the colours and swirls of Japanese anime. I managed excusez-moi before my French deserted me. Art students? Engineering, he said in English. I showed them my directions to Camille's. She had written in French, go directly out of the square, but hadn't specified which way. We are not from Cluny, said the student. It is better to ask at a shop. So I found myself outside the antique store, which I had at first mistaken for a butcher because of the black metal goose that stretched out from the door. I have always liked geese. They cooperate, look out for one another, and mate for life. The goose is also the symbol of a quest, like finding my flaky college friend. The pull of the jewelled scallop shell in the window was as strong as it was inexplicable. Recent life events had let me wondering if I was attuned to the universe at all, so when I got a clear signal, it seemed wise to pay attention. I bumped my suitcase up the stairs into the store. A trim man of about 50, with a narrow moustache, smiled tightly. Bonjour, madame. Bonjour, monsieur. This? I pointed. Civil play. Madame is American? Yes. Was it that obvious? He handed me the charm, and as I held it, I had the feeling again, the one I had relied on to make major decisions throughout my life. This is meant to be. Madame is walking the chemin? I'm sorry? The Camino de Santiago. The way. I was vaguely aware of the Camino, the pilgrim's path in Spain, from skimming Shirley MacLaine's memoir. I could not see the connection with a scallop shell charm in central France. The antique dealer must have taken my nod of understanding as confirmation that I was planning to follow, literally, in Ms. MacLaine's footsteps. This Saint-Jacques will take Madame to Santiago in safety. I wasn't planning. Of course, you are walking only in France. Why a scallop shell? The scallop, the Saint-Jacques, is the symbol of the pilgrimage. St. James, Santiago. Okay. Scallops floated the boat that was bringing Saint-Jacques to Spain. Not in any Bible I'd read. I turned the shell over in my hand, eyes closed as I let myself disappear for a moment into thoughts and feelings I'd been too busy to deal with until the antique dealer coughed. How much, I asked. 215 euros. Dollars and euros, about the same. I'd never spent more than $100 on a piece of jewellery. It is from the late 19th century, he said. Gilded silver and enamel. Possibly it belonged to the royalty of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. I'm sure it's worth it. Well, not that sure. But I can't afford it. It would be like Jack spending all his money on the beans. The walk is not as expensive. Much is given free to the pilgrim. No, thank you, I said, putting down the shell. Madame was not planning to walk any further than Camille's. The antique dealer looked disappointed, but gave me directions in a mixture of English and French. I pulled my case up the hill, hoping I hadn't mixed up à droite and tout droit, right and straight ahead. I couldn't get the scallop charm out of my thoughts. I wonder what would happen as a result of ignoring its message. As I left the old part of town, I looked up. At the top of the hill, there was a cemetery, and silhouetted against the darkening sky, a huge elm tree. A tall man in shorts was pulling what looked like a small horse buggy. It was a strange sight, but his single wheel was doing better than mine, which chose that moment to break in two.